This is part two of the study on the harvests. So here we have a whack of people, not only Israelites, but people of Gentile descent, all nations, all the whole shmoo, crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and no question where this is, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped Christ. No, that's not what it says. Okay? They worship God. Saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these guys? Where'd they come from?" I said to him, "You know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They had to go through the tribulation to have their attitudes adjusted. Okay? This is a completely different group. It is the wheat harvest. So in your column, you could comfortably put this reference here in column number two. Because this is not column three, this is column two. We haven't even got to the ingathering harvest yet. But we will. Well, what are these guys doing? Are they on Mount Zion with Christ, following him wherever he goes?
No.
They're before the throne of God, and they serve him, God. They'll have finally figured out the whole duty of man is to serve God. They'll have that had that kind of sorted out for them. Day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So the Father will be amongst this great multitude of people in heaven, on the sea of glass. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. They're spirit beings. Okay? The sun will not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and the God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So were they comforted and consoled by the Father. If you go through the tribulation, it's going to be nasty. It's not going to be an easy ride.
It's kind of like, people that go through war or whatever that have, like...
Yeah, it's a time of trouble like the earth has never known.
Stress disorders.
Right. Okay, so we now see the barley and what they're up to. When you see the wheat and what they're up to, all right. Well, what about the third harvest? What's that all about? Where would you find scriptures that apply to the third harvest? Okay. Where would you go to look? After the tribulation, which is the wheat, is Satan still active?
Yes.
Yes. So the people in the wheat harvest face the beast. Okay? So now we want to go to a marker bed to point it out so that you can see it. Where would you turn to have a description of when Satan is put away and no longer has any influence? Where's the scripture?
Somewhere in Revelation.
Well, it's Matthew. Yeah, Matthew 13, Matthew 25.
Nope, but where it specifically details exactly when it happens.
Revelation 9.
It's in Revelation 20.
20, yeah.
The question was, where is that marker bed put down in the scriptures so we can see without any equivocation when it happens? It's right here. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. That's where that is. That is a cameo of an event that will occur in the path of eternity that is very specific.
And this is after tribulation and after the second harvest.
Yes, yeah, this is exactly not it.
Everybody has to go through saying it's still right there.
So let's look at this descriptor here of these guys. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. So he sees thrones, and there's already people sitting on the thrones, right? And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness and to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads, on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Those were the people that did the tribulation because they didn't take the mark. And that's what they described them, right?
This is the third harvest.
Yeah, but they're saying he saw the ones that didn't take the mark
right
on their head. And
so the wheat was challenged by the beast.
Right.
So is the final harvest challenged by the beast. The beast system is still there. And they are challenged by it. And this is very specific about these guys. They had their heads lopped off. And when this happens, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest is history.
Yeah.
It happened years before it. Mm-hmm. And you notice, this resurrection to spirit happens after Satan is put away. The other two harvests happen before he's put away. Okay? And we used to read this scripture and say that that was the barley harvest because it's the first resurrection. Hello? It's the third to spirit. So we can use the putting away of Satan as a marker bed.
Before the third.
Right. The third harvest happens after Satan is put away. Okay, and these guys live and they reign with Christ. Christ is already reigning. You mean Christ could be reigning when the beast power is still present? Yeah. And until that third harvest is completed, which is what tabernacles is, the 1,000 years can't start. Because that event happens and then the 1,000 years starts. So all of the three harvests of mankind to spirit must be complete before this 1,000-year period when there is no more resurrections for a while even starts. It's just what it says.
Makes sense, too.
Yeah. So you can lay it out now, and you can say, well, hey, this isn't the first harvest of spirit. The other guys have been in heaven and have even come back with the Father before this ever happens. Right?
Yeah.
That's what it says. So, if you noticed, during the barley harvest, was there a lake of fire event?
No.
No. Was there a lake of fire event when the wheat was harvested?
No.
No. Is there a lake of fire event at the time of the third harvest? And the answer is yes, there is. Because the lake of fire incident is a marker bed. there's going to come a time when the marker bed is in place.
That's at the end of the
yes, well, yeah, okay, well, I'm just, because we're getting kind of long in the tooth and everybody's probably bored, but we'll go on, just because I want to walk through this. Where do you go in the scriptures to see spots where the lake of fire is a thing? Where would you turn to show the lake of fire incident coincident with the third harvest?
Matthew 13 is what you want.
Absolutely. Matthew 13 is where you go. And it's important here, I think, to kind of understand. And please, don't do this because I say so. You got your own map. You got these cameos. You sort them however you want. Okay, so we can go to Matthew 13. And we'll pick it up in verse 24. Christ is speaking here. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Is the enemy still active at this time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does Christ, has he already received his kingdom here? Yeah. "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." So there's both being produced. "So the servants of the owner came and said to them, 'Well, didn't we sow good seed in your field? How come it's got tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy's done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' He said, 'No, lest you gather up the tares, also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest.'" Oh, that's a harvest. How about that? "And I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them." Oh, a lake of fire, isn't that strange? Okay. "And gather the wheat into my barn." This has nothing to do with the Pentecost wheat harvest. Nothing. Because this is talking about the third harvest, and the wheat harvest and the barley harvest are history. They've already happened. So, we go to verse 34. It says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, but without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, 'I'll open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" Mm. God is revealing this stuff to us now. Why he's given it to us to see, I don't have a clue. But he's showing us. "Christ sent the multitude away, went in the house. And his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" They had no clue what he was talking about. Just like the Church of God today. They have no clue about this.
And they don't really seem like they want
it. They don't want to know.
No.
Because it's a threat to the hive.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on. "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Okay? "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one." I mean, he's still active when Christ has already got his kingdom? Yeah. "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. This age does not end until Satan is put away." Okay? "The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Is this talking about the barley harvest? No. Is it talking about the wheat harvest? No. It's talking about the end of the age, at an approximate time of when you will have that lake of fire event, when that final resurrection to spirit of the people who have lived during Satan's time occurs. And along with it happens a lake of fire event that will finish the harvest, or finish the three harvests. So hopefully, hope you're getting from this, this is not talking about the first two harvests. That's ancient history. This is talking about the third one.
Yeah.
Okay. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom. Again, he's already been given the kingdom by the Father. And he's got people in his kingdom who are working for Team Dark. So he can see who's with the program and who isn't. But there will come a time where he will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. That's the marker. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire, like a fire event that we didn't have with the two previous. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They will be spirit beings who will have spirit life, and they will shine like their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the third harvest to eternal life. It tells us at the end of the age. Is the barley harvest the end of the age? Nope. Is the wheat harvest at the end of the age? Nope. Is this the end of the age? Sure is. It says so directly. If we go down to verse 47, another example. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. This is the final harvest at the end of the age. So it will be at the end of the age. Like, what part of end of the age don't we get? The angels will come forth. They'll separate the wicked from among the just. And that's why I've been doing the study on what is wickedness. We talk about it, but we never define it. And cast them into the furnace of fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Christ said to them, have you understood all these things? Like, do you get it? And they said, yep, sure do. There is another passage that talks about a lake of fire incident in the book of Matthew. And it gives us a little bit more detail about the end of the age harvest that does have a lake of fire event attached to it. And that's in Matthew 25. And we'll go to verse 31. We'll just walk through that. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. So this is a time when he gets the kingdom from the Father. All the nations will be gathered before him. Doesn't say the day after. And he will separate one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Is it a time of judgment and sorting and sifting? Yep. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's an offering of spirit life. And then he gives the reasons for it. And it's important. He says, I was naked, you clothed me, I was sick, you visited me, I was in prison, you came to me. I said, what? What happened? What's that all about? And then the righteous will answer him, saying, well, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty? Like, oh, how does that work? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Christ lives in people. And so if they were doing what they were supposed to do, Christ, because they were part of the body of Christ, he recognized them as being part of his body, and they treated him right. Come inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom is not referring to the physical kingdom on the earth. The kingdom is referring to spirit life existence. We live in the kingdom of man. We will live in the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go on. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Where are they going? Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What does this have to do with the barley harvest or the wheat harvest?
No.
Answer, absolutely nothing. I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty. Like, they didn't live it.
Yeah.
He will answer them, verse 45, saying, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of me, you didn't do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the third harvest. Okay? So you can look at that, and you have point one and point two and point three. So when you read of these resurrection events now, you can say, well, wait a minute. Which one is it talking about? Now you know. You can see it. And what's fascinating to me, and I didn't understand this until 2 weeks ago. It's been bugging me. It was there. They don't talk about it because it just totally destroys their theology to even consider it. But if you go to Daniel 12, I think Karen mentioned that a little while ago, or I hope that was one of the things, but you go to Daniel 12, and we got some kind of idea here as to how this is working. It says, at that time, Michael shall stand up. So it's given us an idea of the timing. Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So Michael looks over Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, great tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. So there's going to come a circus that's bad. And at that time, just before the tribulation, which we went through in the scripture, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. That's the barley harvest. That is the timing of right around this time of trouble. Haggai shows up in Jerusalem, and he's there for a not a very long time. I just forget the numbers. Somebody worked through the numbers, and I looked at it. About 30 days after he shows up and says, I'm God, here I am, all hell breaks loose. Okay? So at that time, the barley harvest happens. And everybody's going to see that. Which we walked through. Now notice. And at the same time, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Does that sound like a resurrection to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's physical. So at the time of the spirit resurrection, and everybody sees it, and everybody knows it's real, that this isn't all blown smoke, that this is the real McCoy. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake.
And those are like people, the first resurrection that have died already. Like,
it's going to be a bunch of people. I'll just carry on with the passage, Maddie, and then maybe it'll fit for you. At least this is where I'm at. You guys could be wherever you want. Okay, this is where I'm at. Some of those people that come to life will end up in everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Does this sound like a judgment to you? Okay. So we'll carry on. And it doesn't say everybody. It says many at that time. Because everybody will know that this whole resurrection thing is the real deal. So God resurrects a whole bunch of people at this time in an atmosphere where this is real. They don't believe it today. They just don't. Those who are wise shall shine, future, like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, let's call it evangelizing group of people, they're turning people, hey, this is real, get with the program, okay, like the stars forever and ever, they're going to be given spirit life. But they're resurrected to see what they'll do. I'd always thought when you're resurrected, you stand there and it's shh, shh, what's behind door number one, Johnny, or door number two. No, these guys are resurrected and they're judged as to what they do for 3.5 years. And I'll go on with it because that's the way it reacts for me. You, Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the river bank and one on the other. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then we get in the text. Daniel didn't even know what he was. He just write it down. He didn't have a clue. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, a times, and a half a time. There's your 3.5 years, 42 months all over again. Okay? And I was trying to sort, which of ones is this talking about here? This tells us here, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, that's Jacob's trouble. That's the tribulation. So these people will be raised and they will go through the tribulation to be refined and make their choice. Okay? Let's go on. I didn't get it. I just didn't understand. And my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go away, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Remember, the wheat is purified through the tribulation. Right? That's what it says. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. These are the people that are raised physically at that time. They'll be purified and they'll be made white. They're not spirit, they're humans.
So they're resurrected to go through the
tribulation. That's exactly what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, some of them...
You're going to get a second chance. Here you go. Come up.
Let's... You mean you claimed... So here. Yeah, it's appointed men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Well, this judgment isn't a one-day thing. This is 3.5 years. Well, show me what you got.
Because yeah, God's merciful.
Right. Exactly. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall be... Or shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. So that
calling
and show me what you got
happens
here.
Yeah.
It does not say there's a lake of fire event here, if they've been given their shot, it's those people that very likely will come up in the great white throne judgment and face the second death. That's conjecture on my part. But the timing of this and who is in those resurrections is pretty unmistakable to me now. Like, I see it. And from the time the sacrifice is taken away, blessed he who waits. So this is where I'm at currently with my understanding on it. This is the time of the barley harvest, and this is the time of putting people into place for the wheat harvest. They're refined through that time frame. Again, this has nothing to do with the third harvest. Nothing.
This is the physical, right? Daniel 12 is the physical?
Both.
Some to everlasting and some to contempt.
Yeah, those are raised physical, and they make their choice in that time frame.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but they're all physical. And yes. Then they make their choice.
Right.
Right.
In Daniel 12:1, at the end of it, everyone who's found written in the book, the people will be delivered. Everyone who's found the book is spiritual. That's the barley. Because we've already established, before the tribulation, the barley is raised. The barley is raised. There's also a whack of people resurrected physically about the same time to go through that 3.5 years to show whose team they're really on. So there's both there.
So,
you're saying the wheat is there's wheat harvested too to go through? I don't get it.
Yeah. God is raising people here physically
that could be in the wheat.
That could be in the wheat harvest. And they're going to face the beast power and make their choice. Because we know that the wheat harvest goes and faces the beast. We know that.
So essentially, the people here are the people that have died. They never had maybe the calling or whatever to become part of the barley harvest.
Correct.
But then they've been physically resurrected.
Yes.
In order to be part of the wheat harvest.
Yes.
And they make their choice at that time, and then the people that die, so they say no, whatever, they say no, they die, then they come up again to face the
second death,
or what we used to think is the resurrection, that they are now the goats. They get put into the lake of fire.
As soon as you use the sheep and goats thing, you're talking about the end of this age. This other incident could even be the Great White Throne Judgment after the 1,000 years. I'm not sure. I don't know. Because it doesn't specifically talk about that. So now you've kind of got a reference here. There's a scripture now. I got a minute or two. Like there's some things that we probably need to look at. What time?
It's 20 after 11.
Okay, we'll finish up here quickly. If you go to Matthew 27, I think it is, and I'll just leave this with you. When Christ was before Pilate, okay, it says in verse 63, Christ kept silent. The high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us. If you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Christ said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see, the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, that's God the Father, and coming on the clouds of heaven. If trumpets is the return of the Father to start cleaning house, which I believe it is, the resurrection of this guy has to be before that. How can you see something if you're dead?
You're right. Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of where...